The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Popeye the Sailor and friends take a trip to the zoo, Baby Snooks goes to the horse track, and legal wills are presented on Case Dismissed. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Fanny Bryce stars in Baby Snooks from 1939, and legal wills are presented on an episode of Case Dismissed from 1954. Right now, Popeye the Sailor and friends take a trip to the zoo from 1936 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
All hands on deck! Here's Popeye.
You to try it with Popeye the Sailor Man. Letters, letters, letters from boys and girls everywhere. You just ought to see old Popeye's morning mail. It seems like all the boys want to be football players, and they're eating Popeye's favorite cereal because it makes muscle. And it looks like the girls all want to grow up in a hurry and be young ladies, so they eat Wheatina too. Because Wheatina's regular growing food. And my, the roses it puts into their cheeks. Yes, sir. And, boy, how good it tastes. Well, any other boys and girls want muscle or want to go fast? Okay, tell Mother you want that delicious Wheatina tomorrow. It's peanuts and popcorn we find Popeye, Wimpy, Olive, and Matey visiting at the zoo. All hands are having one grand and glorious time. They've just walked up to the camel's cage.
Well, blow me down. Has you ever seen the likes of such a peculiar animal?
Gosh, Popeye, those bumps on his back look just like your muscles.
Arf, arf, arf. If I had muscles that big, I could never get me shirt on.
I heard that a camel can go 9 days without water.
Tut, tut. A trivial feat. Going 9 days without hamburgers would be an accomplishment worthy of my admiration.
Wimpy, you're just plain ignorant. Dumb animals never eat fried hamburgers.
Perhaps that's why they are called dumb animals.
Popeye, do you think the camel would like some peanuts?
Now you has me stumped, matey. I know squirrels and elephants eat peanuts, but I never seen a camel eat them.
Well, I'll see if this one does.
I am proud of you, matey. On account you wants to share what you got with others.
Here, camel, would you like a peanut?
In camel language, he means desist, stop, quit that.
Be careful, matey. Don't stick your hand in the cage.
Oh, he won't hurt me. But I guess Popeye is right. He don't like peanuts.
Would that I were in a cage and the good public came to feed me hamburgers.
Come on, all hands. After the elephant cage, so matey can feed him the peanuts.
Oh, wait a minute. Look at that funny animal.
basket swap. If that funny-looking mutt in the cage ain't a laughing at us.
Tis a member of the laughing hyena species.
You mean an animal that can really laugh?
Now I ask you, Olive, does that four-legged oof sound like he was crying?
Well, for land's sakes, what's he laughing at?
He has just seen Popeye's face.
I says pooey to you, Wimpy. You ain't never won no beauty contests.
Popeye, does a hyena laughing mean a dog barking?
Well, it's about the same thing, matey, I figures.
I figure yonder elephants await their peanuts.
Hooray! For once, Wimpy is thinking of somebody else's stomach.
T'would appear I were a noble soul.
We set the course straight for the elephant's cave.
Popeye, elephants are awful big. I wonder if one bag of peanuts will be enough.
Well, matey, we make sure. We stops at this stand and we buys more peanuts. Ahoy there. 6 bags of peanuts for matey here.
Okay, here you are, kid.
Gosh, thanks, Popeye.
Forget it, matey. What can I buy you, Olive?
Boss, we got a spongy cake, angela cake, and a stomach cake.
Oh, dear. I'll just take a glass of lemonade.
Okay, lady, come right up. There you are, kid.
Popeye, that sizzling, that beautiful fragrance, that intoxicating aroma.
What are you talking about, Wimpy?
Look, Miss Slowly Frankfurters lie lordly hamburgers.
So they is.
Popeye, don't torture me.
I don't understand you, Wimpy.
Popeye, you're a fiend. Peanuts for matey, lemonade for Olive. But what? Oh, what for Wimpy?
Did you want some peanuts?
Peanuts? Peanuts he offers me. Popeye, this kind gentleman also sells a hamburger.
Oh, does you want a hamburger, Wimpy?
Zounds, he toys with me. How can you be so cruel? My craving for those luscious hamburgers has me faint.
You like for to have hamburger sport?
So, this is a plot to rob me of my sanity.
Popeye, I think Wimpy does want a hamburger.
Matey, I has me suspicions. That's what he's trying to tell us.
I feel a beast in me rising.
Why don't you try a glass of this lemonade, Wimpy? It's delicious.
Demons, all of you.
All right. Hey, mister, see if Wimpy will eat a hamburger.
Okay, boss. Coming right up.
I am trembling with anticipated ecstasy.
Here you go, sport.
1,000 thanks, royal purveyor of heavenly delectables. Oh, glorious hamburger. Only J. Wellington Wimpy can appreciate your scrumptious vitamins.
Gee, Wimpy ate that hamburger fast.
A pity such hamburger were not twins. Perchance even quintuplets.
Here's your money, mister.
How do you like that? Thanks, boss.
Hey, friends, we set sail for the elephant cage. Weigh anchor, all hands.
Oh, look, there's the elephant. Goodness gracious, aren't they enormous?
Oh, boy, I hope they didn't have their dinner yet.
I am flabbergasted. One of them monsters on me barge, and she'd hit Davy Jones' locker.
A huge mammal indeed.
Hey, Jumbo, come over here. Look what I got for you.
Isn't he heavy?
I pity the poor swab's foot he steps on.
Here's some peanuts for you, Jumbo.
Blow me down. He sucks them up like a vacuum cleaner.
Isn't it cute the way he curls up his trunk and blows them into his mouth?
Here you are, Jumbo. I got some more for you.
Oh, look. All the little children playing piggyback on yonder elephant.
Where? Oh, look, Popeye. Look at all the kids.
I am surprised. Riding an elephant?
Please, Popeye, can I go for a ride?
Sure, matey.
Now, Popeye, it's too dangerous for the child.
Aw, gee, all the other kids are doing it.
So your fears, Olive. If the other young ones can ride the elephant, so can matey.
Oh, boy, thanks, Popeye. Come on.
Then can't you bring the elephant over here?
Nay, Mohammed must go to the mountain.
Hold speed ahead before it's too late. Come on. Avast there, Captain. Don't weigh anchor yet. Matey's coming aboard.
Sorry. Just finished the last trip. Time for the elephants to go in now.
Aw, shucks. I wanted a ride.
And you get your ride. I buys all your tickets, mister.
Well, I guess once more around won't hurt.
Boy, oh boy. Give me a hand, Popeye.
The elephant will lift you up, matey, with his trunk.
Here, Jumbo. Put your trunk around the lad. Up you go.
Gosh, it's high up here.
Anybody else going?
Olive, I think you better board the craft with matey.
Me?
The steed awaits, Miss Oil.
Oh, Popeye, is it safe?
Sure, just like riding in me barge.
Will he squeeze me when he lifts me up?
Nah, come on. Up you goes. Aye, Captain, you can shove off.
Gracious, what's that?
Ah, a junior rodent. Greetings, Mickey.
Hey, look out. It's a mouse.
A little mousey can't hurt you none.
But elephants are deathly afraid of mice.
Oh, it's getting rough.
I can't hold the elephant.
Give me that rope.
Go away, naughty mouse.
Boy, this is like riding a bucket trunk.
Stand still, you elephant.
Look out! The rope!
The blasted rope busket.
Ride him, cowboy!
He's running wild!
The elephant can't run out of the cage. I'll catch him when he comes around.
You can't do that. You'll be killed.
I am going to rescue Matey and Olive.
The cowardly mammal is returning.
I stands right here and stops the elephant.
Man alive, how can you stop a wild elephant?
I grabs him by his nose.
Here he comes. Get out of the way.
I am not a scared of no elephant.
Ronnie, he'll trample you down.
I says I catches him by the nose.
Hello, Popeye, we'll be killed.
Yippee!
Come on,
try it, Popeye. I
saves you, Olive. I told you you'd get hurt.
Now I am mad at that elephant because he knocks me down.
Would seem the mammal has won the first round.
I catches the beast, but I needs extra muscle. Wimpy, me favorite cereal.
What are your requirements, Popeye?
Because an elephant is the biggest monster in the world, I needs at least 4 bowls to stop him.
4 bowls coming up.
Look, it's Wee Tina.
Here's one. And another. And the third. And the fourth.
Now look at me, muscle. Now watch me catch that elephant and lay him among the sweet peas.
He's coming faster this time. You'll be killed.
Come on, elephant. I checks your trunk.
Go!
I stopped him, Olive. Cast anchor there. Cast anchor, you monster.
Holy smoky, stop the elephant.
Popeye, he resents your holding his nose.
Stand still, you beast, or I socks you one.
Get me off. Get me off.
Roll, Popeye.
Stand still, I says.
Watch out. He's going to lift you up with his trunk. Let go.
Popeye never lets go.
Look out. I told you he'd raise you right up. Let go or he'll smash you against the paws of the cage.
It is too bad I has to do it. But, Mr. Elephant, you forces me to suck you.
He's wobbling, Popeye. Give him another. That did it. The elephant's down. Hooray! Yay!
Boy, what a suck.
Oh, Popeye, you're marvelous.
I am a sad swab. On account I has to sock a poor dumb animal.
Oh, don't worry about the elephant. He has a thick skull. He'll get over it.
That's good. And because I did not mean to hurt him, I hope this elephant forgets.
Say, Popeye.
Yeah, matey.
It was only a teeny weeny mouse that scared that big elephant, wasn't it?
Yeah, matey. Which only goes to show, no matter how big anybody is, don't underestimate the little fella.
let's get this cereal business straight. As you know, there are a number of wheat cereals on the market, some hot, some cold. Several of them have wheat-sounding names, but they're not like Wheatena. There's only one Wheatena. W-H-E-A-T, wheat, E-N-A. Now, don't forget those last three letters. E-N-A. Wheatena. Now, why is Wheatena hot? Well, because hot cereals are better for you. Where does that delicious flavor come from? From toasting that unrobbed wheat, as only Wheatena does it. And when you want the hot brown wheat cereal that gives you the vital parts of the whole grain and tastes so G-O-O-D, you have to have Wheatena.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am, 'cause I am what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Recently, one of the foremost publications in the broadcasting field polled 465 critics and editors the question, which radio network programs do you rate tops? When the answers from these 465 experts were tabulated, the final ratings were overwhelmingly one-sided. Total honors accorded CBS radio programs exceeded those of all the other networks combined. The final verdict of hundreds of critics, reviewers, and editors was that CBS radio had more top shows than all other networks put together. Great programming is no accident. It's long been a policy of this network to devote every effort to maintaining the highest broadcast standards. Whatever listening fare is for you, you can be sure you're hearing the best when you're tuned to CBS Radio.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, promised to take Snooks to the Los Angeles County Fair if she behaved all week. By some miracle, Snooks was a very good girl. So we find them both at the gigantic parking lot at the fairgrounds. Daddy is trying to park his car, and the little angel is helping him. Listen.
Snooks, you get out and see that I back in properly.
All right, Daddy.
Now, watch that car on the left.
Why?
Because I haven't got much room. Watch carefully and see if I hit it.
All right. Come on, Daddy.
Oh!
It's all right, Daddy. You hit it.
Snooks, didn't I tell you to watch that car on the left?
I watch it all the time, Daddy.
Then why didn't you say something before I hit it?
You didn't tell me to say nothing.
Well, this is a fine way to start the day. We're not even in the fair yet, and I've got a busted fender. Thanks to you.
You're welcome, Daddy.
Oh, stop that. Well, I'd better have a look at the damage.
I want to see the fair.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's have a look at... Look at that rip in my fender.
Ain't it awful?
You can say that again.
All right. Ain't it awful?
It's all your fault. I've got a good mind to take you right back home.
I didn't do nothing.
Oh, all right. Let's go in. Hang on to my coat.
Why?
I don't want you to get lost in the crowd.
Why?
I don't know. But hang on to my coat just the same.
Tickets, please.
I hear.
Just a minute, buddy. How about a ticket for the kid?
Ticket for the kid?
That's what I said.
That's what he said.
The sign says children under six admitted free. This child is 5 years old.
She's five. Don't make me laugh, mister.
Don't make him laugh, Daddy.
Keep quiet, you.
How old are you, kid?
91.
Oh, Snooks, tell the man your right age.
Hey, listen, kid, you're over six, ain't you?
No, I ain't.
Yeah, what did I tell you?
I'm over seven.
Here's the money. Give me another ticket.
Okay, but next time, don't try to get away with nothing.
All right, wise guy.
Wise guy.
Hey, wait a minute, you.
Stop him, Daddy.
Oh, come on. I should have known better than to take you anywhere. Well, come on. Look at the fair and enjoy yourself.
I want a hot dog.
You can't have a hot dog.
Why?
Because I won't buy it for you.
No, I'll buy it myself. See, I got money.
Let me see that. 40 cents. Snooks, where'd you get that money?
I said a naughty word in school.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. And the teacher gave me 10 cents not to say it anymore.
Well, where'd you get the other 30 cents?
I like three new words.
Snooks, I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Kiss me, Daddy. take.
No, I won't. And you'd better let me hold that money for you.
Why?
Well, you might lose it.
I don't want to hold it.
Oh, it's too much for a little girl. I'll tell you what. Give half of it to Dad. How's that?
No good.
Now, listen. I share everything I have with you, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I always see that you get what you want, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you going to be selfish and keep all that money?
Uh-huh.
Snooks, give me that money. I'll give you 20 cents and I'll keep 20. If you don't, I'll take you right home.
All right, here. Well, I want half.
All right, all right. Now, here's 20 cents for you and I'll take 22.
Why did you get 2 cents more than me?
I didn't get more than you. You've got 20 and I've got 22.
You got 22?
That's right. That's a fair division, isn't it?
No.
Well, why not?
Because I want 22.
If you took 22, that would only leave me 18. That wouldn't be half. As it is, we both have 20 cents.
You said you got 22.
I did not. I said I have 22, not 22.
Oh, that's different, ain't it, Daddy?
Why, of course. Well, what are you yelling about?
You got 2 cents more than me.
I've got exactly the same amount.
How?
Because when I said I was taking 22, I didn't mean I was taking 22. The two used in the first case is not the same as the numeral two used in the second. Ah, oh, what's the use explaining to you? What does it get me?
2 cents more than me.
All right, here's the money. You divide it yourself.
All right. Here's 20 cents for you.
That's right.
And I'll take 22.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Huh? Now I got 2 cents more than you.
All right. And just to show you how generous I am, I'll let you keep it.
Thank you, Daddy.
Now let's walk around and have a look at this fair.
What's that, Daddy?
Oh, that's the races. I forgot all about them. Come on, we'll watch the horses run.
Where are they going to run?
Around the track.
Do they walk, Daddy?
Only when I bet on them. Now look over there, Snooks. See them lining up at the barrier?
I want to race too, Daddy.
Oh, don't be silly. Now listen, I'm going to make a little bet. Walk over to the mutual window with me.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Who shall we bet on, Snooks?
I don't know.
See that number six?
Yeah.
That's Mudneck. He's an outsider.
How did he get in?
No. I mean, he's a long shot.
Oh.
I think I'll put $2 on his nose.
There's more room on the other end, Daddy.
Come on. We'll take a chance on Mudneck. Number six, please.
Is he going to win, Daddy?
I hope so. Here, you hold the ticket for good luck.
All right.
Well, they'll be ready to go in a second. Huh? Our jockey looks pretty good, doesn't he?
Mm, he's got pretty pants on, Daddy.
They're off.
No, they ain't. He's still wearing them, Daddy.
No, no, look. The horses are running. Come on, Snooks. Pull for our horse. Come on, Mudneck.
Come on, Mudneck.
They're at the first quarter.
Yeah.
Oh, where's Mudneck?
He's still here, Daddy.
Well, don't you worry. I'll bet those other horses are plenty scared of our Mudneck.
Is that why they're running away from him, Daddy?
Well, that's smart riding. The jockey's saving him.
Saving for what?
For the stretch.
Can he stretch him that far?
Watch the race. We gotta bring Mudneck in.
Uh-huh. I want a hot dog.
I'll buy you 50 hot dogs if he wins.
Come on, Mudneck.
He got two on the inside. He's fourth. Look, he's third. Look at him go.
I'm nervous, Daddy.
Yeah, so am I. He's got to win. Come on, Mudneck. They're in the stretch. Mudneck is taking the lead. He's coming away.
I don't feel good.
Mudneck wins. Oh, Snooks, we're rich. That horse will pay 50 to 1 for our $2 tickets. Well, why are you crying? Was the excitement too much for you?
No.
Did somebody push you?
No.
Then why? Snooks! A ticket. Oh, don't tell me. Did you lose it?
Is it lost if I know where it is, Daddy?
No, no. If you know where it is, it's all right.
And you won't spank me?
Why, of course not. Where's the ticket?
It's in my tummy. I swallowed it.
Oh, what's the use?
You're You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, featuring Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks, first broadcast on October 5th, 1939. We also heard an episode of Popeye the Sailor from 1936. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s, when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, from 1954, legal wills are presented on this episode of Case Dismissed, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Case Dismissed. This can't be happening to Bill and Marge Gray. The people who slaved to build a future for their family. Now our children, strangers all around them. Parents, money, education, all gone too. What have I done?
One man leaves no will at all. Another leaves a simple form will. Both lead along the road to trouble, expense, and courtroom litigation. What can be done to ensure a case dismissed? WMAQ, in cooperation with the Chicago Bar Association, presents Case Dismissed. This is the story of your legal rights, how vital to preserve and protect them, how easily they may be lost. Today's story takes us to the outer drive in the evening rush.
Have a big day in the loop, Marge?
Wonderful, dear. I'll tell you all about it when we get home.
Tell me about it now.
I thought you didn't like to talk when the drive's crowded like this.
Oh, I could drive this stretch blindfolded.
You'd better knock on wood. Well, I found everything I needed, and I even had time to buy something for each of the children. A train, electric stove, fire engine.
What a lucky bunch of kids.
Yeah.
I can remember when I was that age. If my mother went downtown, she brought home a sack of peppermints, or maybe a little 10-cent racing car or something like that. And that was all.
They're all we have, Bill.
I know. I'm just as bad as you are. Only sometimes I think we overdo it these days, trying to give them everything.
Well, just remember, dear, if we weren't here, there'd be no one to give them anything.
Sure. I realize that, Marge. Just you and me and the kids. That's why today was a good day for me, too.
How do you mean, dear?
I made my will.
Oh, Bill.
No will. You know, last will and testament and all that sort of thing.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not, Marge. I've let it go long enough. We got to talking at lunch today about what happens to our families if we die and all that.
Well, what pleasant luncheon conversations you boys have.
Well, you have to face it sooner or later, honey. Besides, making your will when you're fairly young is kind of like taking along a big umbrella on a picnic. Even if it doesn't keep the rain away, it'll protect your family. Keep them... Say, what's the matter, Mark?
Nothing's the matter.
You look sort of, well, strange.
Oh, Well, you know, dear, making a will, it's not something you do every day. I'm just a little surprised. That's all, dear.
I'd have told you about it, honey, except it just hit me today, and I said to myself, take care of it right now, Bill Gray, and you'll never have to worry about it again.
Well, I'm glad you did, dear. Did the will cost very much?
Very much. Oh, yeah. It was pretty steep, all right. Came to a total of 25 cents.
Now I know you're teasing me.
No, I'm not. That's all my will cost me, 2 bits.
Now, Bill, what kind of a lawyer would make out your will for 25 cents?
Who said a lawyer?
Well, where else would you get a will?
I got mine at a stationery store.
Stationery store? Bill, maybe I should be driving, dear.
No, I'm a strictly sober man, Mrs. Gray. Also, an economical one. This noon, one of the boys happened to mention you can buy a simple standard will form at almost any stationery store. So I did.
But is it legal, dear?
Perfectly legal. Sure, it doesn't have a lot of extra fancy language. It probably wouldn't serve if you had a whole gang of people you want to leave your money and property to. But it was good enough for me.
I gather you've left your worldly goods to just one person.
To the girl that I married and nobody else.
Thank you very much. And I hope I never have to inherit it.
Likewise, I'm sure. Seriously, Marge, why should I go to the extra expense of having a lawyer draw up a will when all I want to do is protect you and the kids? This simple standard will form leaves everything to you.
Personal property, insurance, house, everything. Uh-huh. So I see.
So, with everything legally in your hands, naturally, I can assume Jeff and Jean and Gil will be adequately taken care of, too. I simply filled in the proper blanks, had two of our secretaries witness it, and then I took the will down to our box in the bank.
Well, Bill, if you're convinced it's absolutely legal, I'm sure there's nothing to worry about. So let's forget the subject and talk about something pleasant, huh?
Now, there's a woman for you. No appreciation of her brilliant and thrifty husband. Obviously, you deserve to be cut off without a cent. You come to think of it, the topic is pretty morbid. How about a little radio music?
All right.
I'll be glad to get home tonight.
I will, too, dear. Bill, that car coming at us.
Blow up. And I can't budge out of this lane.
He's out of control. He's heading straight.
Get down,
Mark!
Can I give you a hand, my friend?
No, thanks. I seem to be all right.
My name is Bill Gray.
I'm Pete Parker. Glad to know you.
Same here. Boy, some wreck.
That lousy left front tire of mine. I knew it was thin, but I didn't think she'd go like that.
Well, it sure did. I guess you know where we are.
Yeah, it doesn't look much like I imagined it would.
No, and we don't have our harps yet. Still, it's quiet and peaceful, Pete.
Sure lucky I was alone in that wreck.
Yeah.
How about you?
Oh, my wife, Marge, was with me.
She's trapped in there?
No, I looked. She's all right.
Oh.
Marge isn't here at all. She got through safely. She escaped.
Well, that's a lucky break for you, pal, especially if you got kids back there.
I have, Pete. Three of the best. Marge will take good care of them.
You pretty well fixed, huh?
Oh, not loaded, Pete, but they won't have to worry. You know, this sounds fantastic, but I just made my will today.
Oh, brother, you must have been psychic.
Oh, I don't believe in that stuff. Nothing involved. I just left the whole thing to Marge. She'll take it from there.
Well, myself, I didn't worry about any of that stuff.
You didn't believe a will?
Oh, why should I? No youngsters at all, just Alma. Who's going to get a guy's dough beside his wife? Why worry about papers and stuff?
I suppose you're right. Are you pretty well fixed?
No cash to speak of. No insurance. Practically everything tied up in real estate. One office building. But Alma can get by off the rentals. Or sell it outright if she needs the cash.
Are you sure she can do that? I mean, without a will saying she can?
I don't know why not. Do you?
No. Only there always seems to be some crazy law bobbing up and queering things if you don't have everything written down in black and white.
Oh, you're the worrying kind. I can see that, Bill.
No. Just cautious.
Well, stop worrying me then. Tell you what.
What?
Why don't we go down there and have a look?
You mean, and see how your wife is doing?
Sure. I want to prove to you once and for all, you don't have to make a will if there's only your wife.
Don't get me wrong, Pete. I hope you're right.
You know what? After listening to you, so do I.
Dr. Smith, this is Alma Parker. What concerns me is the cost of... Yes, I know that, but you said it should be done as soon as possible. And how long before I could be back on my feet, Doctor? Dr. Smith, I can't even set a date until I've made some financial arrangements. Yes. Yes, I'll phone you just as soon as I know. No, I won't delay it a minute more than I have to, Doctor. Yes, I'll call you. Thank you, Doctor. Goodbye. Mr. Walters suggested I come here to the bank and see about a mortgage on my husband's office building. He's the real estate man who always handled the office rentals.
I see.
He advised me against selling the building now. prices are down and property isn't going very fast, he said.
So I understand, Mrs. Parker.
Naturally, I don't want to sell the property at all, Mr. Carter. But I was afraid I'd have to, with all the costs of my operation, not to mention the expenses of a long recuperation. Well, I'm really in urgent need of funds.
Well, I'm sure you've done the wise thing in coming to your bank instead of disposing of the building at a sacrificed price. Not to mention losing your future rental income.
Oh, yes.
Now, about the mortgage, Mrs. Parker. I believe you told me the deed was all clear?
Well, yes, I had it right here in my purse, Mr. Carter. It was in my husband's desk at home. Here it is.
Good. Thank you.
Is it all clear, Mr. Carter?
Hmm.
I mean, it is clear, isn't it?
The title? Yes, it appears to be clear, all right. For Mr. Parker.
Why, what do you mean by that?
This deed to the office building is made out solely in Mr. Parker's name.
Why, certainly. There isn't anything wrong with that, is there?
Well...
There isn't any reason why a widow isn't entitled to all of her husband's possessions. Mr. Carter, is there?
No, no, please, Mrs. Parker, please don't be upset. I'm sure there's nothing wrong here.
Wrong? What do you mean, nothing wrong? What could be wrong?
Mrs. Parker, didn't you have your husband's will probated in court?
Will? Probated? Mr. Carter, my husband left no will.
Holy smoke, Bill. You don't suppose I've got my wife into trouble by leaving no will?
I don't know, Pete, but I wouldn't take any bets on it.
Oh, man, this is the last thing on earth I wanted to have happen.
Well, you should have filled out a simple will form the way I did, Pete. Then your wife would be well taken care of. But cheer up, boy. Maybe Alma isn't in trouble after all.
Oh, I sure hope not. Anyway, I see she's going to see a lawyer, and that's good. Let's find out what happens, Bill.
Right with you, Pete.
Mr. Carter, the banker seemed very worried that I might not be able to mortgage my husband's property for quite some time.
Well, Mrs. Parker, I don't like to raise false fears, but I believe your position may be even more serious than you suspect.
More serious?
Yes. Now, you're absolutely certain your husband made no will of any kind or description?
Absolutely, Mr. Dewey. Oh, we've talked about it several times. Peter, that's my husband, he naturally assumed that it wasn't necessary to make a will, since he wanted everything to go to me. We have no children, no one else close to us, so it seemed the obvious thing to do.
Obvious, perhaps, but not the wisest course, I'm sorry to say.
But I don't understand, Mr. Dewey. What could be wiser than simply leaving everything to me?
Well, it's not that, Mrs. Parker. The point is, by leaving no will, your husband may have accomplished just the opposite of what he intended. In short, he may have divided your inheritance with others.
Divided? Oh, no, you must be wrong.
Well, in your case, I wish I were wrong, Mrs. Parker. The Illinois law says otherwise.
But divide? Who on earth must I divide with?
Well, the law stipulates that if you make no will and leave a wife and no child, the wife would receive all your personal property. That means cash, savings, insurance, and so forth. But only one half of your real estate, providing.
Providing?
Well, Mrs. Parker, is your husband survived by a parent, a brother, a sister, nephew, or niece?
Yes, he has a brother.
Then, lacking a will to provide otherwise, your husband's office building belongs half to you and half to his brother.
Oh, no, not Martin. Of all people, not his brother.
Oh, no, not my brother. Not Martin.
What's the matter, Pete? Your brother wouldn't make it rough for your widow.
Oh, Bill, you don't know my brother. Martin owns half the money in the world, and he's devoting his life to getting the other half.
Hey, that's a fine way to talk about your brother, Pete. Particularly when we're up here where you forget about all your earthly troubles.
Look, Martin went his way and I went mine. He didn't want any part of the poor relation, see? Alma and I haven't seen or spoken to him for at least 10 years.
Well, maybe he's changed, Pete. Sometimes greedy guys do, you know. I can't believe he deliberately take his half of your real estate.
I wish I could believe that, Bill. Better yet, I wish I could go back and make out a bona fide will, leaving everything specifically to Alma. What a dope I was.
I'm sure glad now that I made out that paper for my wife, Marge.
Yeah, you were a bright boy, all right. Gee, I wonder if that lawyer can do anything for Alma at this late stage in the game.
Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Martin Parker.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Parker? I'm Leland Dewey. Won't you sit down, please?
Thank you.
I represent your sister-in-law, Mrs. Peter Parker.
So you said on the telephone. I haven't seen Mrs. Parker for many years. My wife and I were in Europe when my brother passed away. Dreadfully tragic.
Yes, it certainly was. Mr. Parker, it will interest you to know that you are a beneficiary of your brother Peter.
Beneficiary? Forgive me, Mr. Dewey. To tell you the truth, I couldn't imagine him leaving anyone more than a pittance, let alone leaving any of it to me. We weren't... we were not on the best of terms, you know.
Well, so I've gathered. Well, friends or not, it appears he has left you one half of his only major possession, the 5-story office building.
He left me one half interest in an office building? Incredible, incredible.
Yes, I dare say, and to all appearances, unintentional.
Unintentional? How so?
Well, Mr. Parker, your brother was not a careful businessman in some respect.
I would say that is the understatement of the year, Mr. Dewey.
Mm.
Money knew no home with my brother.
Well, what you say may be true, Mr. Parker. However, his thoughts were only of his wife when he failed to make a will. He believed that since he had no children or others near and dear to him, all he possessed would automatically go to his widow. Now, his only mistake was in not seeking legal counsel, which would have told him that only a will can prevent his real estate from being divided equally between his widow and his nearest living blood relation.
So that's how I became my brother's heir.
Exactly.
Mr. Dewey, do you have any ideas to the valuation of my brother's property?
No, sir, not as yet, Mr. Parker. That's where you may be able to help us. Your brother's wife has told me you're quite wealthy, own a great many units of business property yourself, and are quite an expert on real property.
Oh, really? She told you that? Well, yes, yes, it's true. Substantially true. But how can I help you?
Well, first, you might wish to appraise the building. Then, with your approval, of course, Mrs. Parker would like to sell the building in order to obtain her half of the inheritance in cash.
Sell the building? But why? So she can go on spending as freely as they used to?
No, Mr. Parker. Your sister-in-law is in urgent need of a serious operation. The cost of it and the long period of recuperation that must follow are only two reasons she needs cash. There's going to be a substantial inheritance tax to pay and other expenses. Actually, she hates the idea of parting with her late husband's building.
Well, this puts quite another light on the situation. But why doesn't she borrow money on the building?
Since she owns only one half interest in it, she felt sure you would object to such an arrangement and would block it.
Oh, she did. Well, that hardly paints a very attractive picture of me, does it?
Well, naturally, if you do feel so disposed, my client would much prefer to arrange a mortgage. Of course, we would have to go to court to get her appointed administrator of the estate before we could do that.
I see. Well, then, Mr. Dewey, I wish you would transmit this message to my sister-in-law. I wish you would tell her that I am so disposed.
Well, I'm sure Mrs. Parker will be deeply grateful.
You might also mention, Mr. Dewey, that after much thought, several seconds at least, I've decided I have no interest in my half share of my brother's property. I'll promptly quit claim it to her.
Well, Mr. Parker, this meeting has borne rather surprising fruit, if you don't mind my saying so.
That's all right. Let's merely say that the acquisition of money has become less important to me in recent years.
I see. Well, under any circumstances, it's very generous.
Not at all, sir. Now, I can see that it's going to take time to straighten out the situation, so I want you to tell Alma that I will gladly advance her funds to carry her through this critical period.
Well, Mr. Parker, I can tell you that your unselfish gesture is going to mean a great deal to your brother's widow.
Well, there's a happy ending I never imagined, Bill.
Now that Alma's out of financial hot water, you can rest easy up here, Pete.
Well, I sure came close to ruining her life. I wonder if I'm the only guy up here in the cloud country who left his wife in a terrible mess by not making a will.
Personally, I'd bet there are millions, Pete. In fact, only a timely luncheon conversation started me thinking about the subject.
And you say you didn't even consult a lawyer?
No. There was nothing to it, really. I just bought this simple little ready-made will form at the stationery store for 25 cents. Leaves everything to my wife, Marge. But that's all I wanted to do anyway. There's plenty to take care of the whole family and give the kids a good education.
Pretty sharp lad. Making up that will on the very day an accident gets you. Bill, you must have been psychic.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Bill! Bill Gray! Oh, Bill!
Somebody's calling you, pal. You got friends up here?
That sounded like Marge. But it can't be.
Bill! Oh, Bill!
It is Marge.
Good Lord.
Bill.
Marge. Oh. Marge, honey, what happened? What happened?
I had to follow you up here, Bill. But
why? I thought you were all right. I thought the accident only brought me up here.
No, Bill, I didn't escape. I came up here 3 days after you did.
Oh, Marge. Marge.
And, Bill, I've been back. I've been down there, and things are going all wrong. So wrong.
The children. What's happening to Jeff and Jean and little Gil?
Oh, Bill. Why do men always think they'll be the first to go? And that they'll go alone? That form will you made, it has no provisions for the children.
I know, but I thought you... Marge, what's happening down there? What's happening to the children?
I just can't bear it. Well, there's no guardian. You know we have no close relatives.
But I'd have wanted Sam Collins, wouldn't you, honey?
Yes, oh yes, Bill. But we can't appoint a guardian now. It's too late. I saw the court appointing a guardian. A man the children never even saw before, Bill. A stranger.
Oh, no. You mean he'll take care of them?
No, Bill. The children are being placed in a foster home.
A foster home? Marge, that's impossible.
It's true, Bill. They seem like very nice people, only... Oh, Bill, the children won't be able to have the education we always planned for them.
Why not, Marge? They still have the money I left.
But you didn't leave it to them, Bill. That's just it. You left the money to me. That self-made will form you use does nothing at all for the children. Until Jean's 18 and the boys are 21, the use of every cent of that money is going to be subject to the approval of the court.
Oh, no.
And how is the court going to know what we want of them, Bill?
Marge, this can't be true.
Oh, it is true, Bill. Terribly.
No, it can't be. It has to be a nightmare. This can't be happening to Bill and Marge Gray, the people who slaved to build a future for that family. Now our children, strangers all around them. Parents gone, money, education all gone too. What have I done? What can I do?
If we could only go back.
That's it. We have to go back, Marge. I must have the chance to do it the right way. I'll see a lawyer, and we'll appoint Sam Collins guardian. And we'll set up a trust fund, too, and we'll... Marge, we have to go back for just a little while. Just long enough. Marge, take my hand there. Marge, where are you? Marge, we're going back there. Marge, where are you? Marge! Marge. Marge, where are you? Honey, take my hand. Take...
I'm right here, darling. Right beside your bed.
Bed? Marge, this is real. You're all right.
Oh, Bill. Bill. And now you're going to be all right.
But, hey, what is this? Will somebody tell me what...
Darling, you've been unconscious for 3 whole days. Don't you even remember the accident?
Sure. Sure. Honey, this is like coming back from a dream. Did Pete pull through, too?
Pete?
Sure. Pete Parker. The fellow in the other car.
Oh, darling, you must have been dreaming. His name isn't Pete Parker. It's Ben Chalmers. He was in a coma, too. But he came out of it yesterday. Oh. He's going to be all right. Both of you were unconscious.
Well, you can say that again. Out of our minds is more like it.
But, Bill, what do you mean by that?
Well, if Pete pulled as stupid a stunt with his estate as he told me he did in his dream, well, believe me, the two of us idiots have a date today with a professional man.
A professional man?
Yes, honey. And I don't mean a doctor.
Case dismissed. Case Dismissed is written by Robert Carman and is based on information supplied by the Chicago Bar Association and its lawyer members. All characters were fictitious. Any resemblance to any person living or dead is purely coincidental. Members of the cast were Alma Platts, Rita Ascott, Arthur Peterson, Russ Reed, Paul Barnes, and Charles Flynn. Case Dismissed is produced by Betty Ross. Direction by Herbert Lateau. Musical effects were transcribed. Sound by Tom Evans. Engineering by Harold Whittaberry. And this is Lee Bennett speaking, inviting you to return next Saturday at the same time when we'll bring to light some of your legal rights involved in domestic relations on Case Dismissed.
Where's the man with the jive?
There's a man from way uptown who'll take away your blues. And any time the man comes round, the vipers spread the news. He is known from coast to coast, to every cat alive. And any time they give a toast to the man who brings the jive. Whenever you're feeling small, don't care for this life at all, light up and get real tall. Here comes the man with the jive. Don't sit around moan and sigh and act like you're gonna die. Light up, baby, and get real high. Here comes the man with the jive. Now you'll feel like a millionaire, but not a dime in your jeans. Although you don't get nowhere, feel like going down to New Orleans. Don't cry if your gal is gone. Those vipers, they don't stay for long. Light up, pal, and sing a song. Here comes the man with the jive. I'm the jive, jive man. I'm the jive, jive man. I got my jive right in my hand. Where's the man with the jive? Bring him on. Bring him on. Bring him on.
Well, look here, Gates. How much is your jive?
3 for a half.
3 for a half. Don't make me laugh.
Well, $4 for a dollar.
Woo, I'm going to holler.
Well, holler. I don't care. Well, look here, boys. Everybody's nice and tall. Let's light up and have a ball.
Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and Stuff Smith featuring Jonah Jones and Colsey Cole. Here comes that man with the jive from 1936. We also heard an episode of Case Dismissed from 1954. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.